It is Thursday. Good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. We sure appreciate your giving us a listen and also following us online, which you can do not only as a live event, but also out of the archives. We'll tell you how to do that a little bit later on. Our primary means of communication, though, is always the telephone. 414-1234 is the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If it be long distance from you to us, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. You want to tweet? That's great, too. That's at WFSU Perspective. And we'll get into that whole thing with I guess Tumblr and Instagram and the multitude of other ways we have to do the online thing at some point. We'll keep you apprised on that. Well, at the outset, we mentioned something about cardiovascular disease being the number one killer. It's almost become a cliche. And it may be that we're so used to hearing that it doesn't register with us quite as strongly as perhaps it should. And we get caught up in things like not taking away from ALS. Those guys did a wonderful job getting worldwide recognition for their particular thing with the challenges in the ice water and all that. But the incidence of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease is infinitesimal in comparison to cardiovascular illness, which is going to hit really most of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning on Perspectives, not just in the context of the disease itself, but also what you and I and folks we know can do to help mitigate its impact in the future through things like the upcoming Heart Walk at Tallahassee's Tom Brown Park. Let's go around and meet some folks here. We're going to be talking about that today on Perspectives. And from the Heart Association, Janine Nuzzo, she has been with the organization since what, last January, Janine?
That's correct.
Okay. And so you've been the interface here between the greater community at large and the American Heart Association nationwide?
Yes. I'm the regional director for the Tallahassee and Valdosta areas.
Wow, that's a pretty big chunk of real estate that you got to cover then, right?
It's some pretty land. I visit a lot of cows to and from.
Well, we'll talk about dairy products, too, and maybe cutting back on cholesterol, and that can have some impact on it, too, here. If you ever have an opportunity to see Leon County EMS units rolling through the area, well, someone who is deeply involved in that is an old buddy of ours, Sally Davis from Leon County EMS. Good to see you, Sally.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So, yeah, I got off the pavement very quickly last night when one of the ambulances came screeching by on the way to TMH. So
we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm amazed at the number of people who don't.
They don't. Well, they freeze. A lot of times they don't know what to do, or the radio's a little bit too loud.
Yeah.
No offense there. But
or we may be returning tweets. Who knows?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a different program here, but we'll get into that too. Mm-hmm. And Clark Brookstone joins us here from the Department of Economic Opportunity, but you're going to tell us about some challenges that you've had relating to heart stuff, huh?
Absolutely, Tom. I've had a number of experiences where I've been the recipient of everything that happens through the Heart Association and all the good that they do. I have two different surgeries that I've had. I've got another one coming up. I'm very thankful to be here, to see your smiling face, and to be able to talk about it and kind of go in depth, if you want me to, of the various things that have happened and where I've been. I'm also a veteran. I've traveled the world, and so I have a lot of experiences of meeting people and seeing things, and I know for a fact in this area, American Heart Association is terrific. They go above and beyond, and it's going to affect sooner or later probably everybody that's listening right now, either them or somebody that they know.
Let's start off with that. You seem like a healthy guy, normal guy. What happened? What happened, Clark?
That's a good question. My parents both lived into their 80s, played sports through high school, baseball, went in the military, always stayed in good shape. After that, was a teacher, maybe got a little bit out of shape. Eventually, I've done a lot of walking and things like that. Never did any drugs, alcohol, not too much, and smoking. My problem is I love fried chicken. Jewish guy, right? Fried chicken and barbecued ribs. Go figure. And so I think over the years, the cholesterol built up. I was working for, at that point, a Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles in 2005. And I had a some chest pains, and I was short of breath and didn't know it was on my right side, and the heart's on the left side. So I didn't put the two and two together. Walked in to the emergency room at night. By the morning time morning came around, I'd had a quadruple bypass. That was in 2005, and that was in Brandon, Florida. Since then, back in 2012, I was losing weight over a number of months. Started in about February, went all the way through until November, when eventually, because I am a veteran, we went through the Capital Regional and eventually had to airlift me to Shands to do an emergency double heart valve replacement. That I didn't know anything about it, and the worst part was when I woke up, the first question was, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in Tallahassee." They said, "No, you're in Gainesville." At that point, my heart went really crazy because I'm a Seminole all true and true. To be in Gainesville of all places after a heart surgery. And I now have new heart valves. And again, this is all a result of eventually the American Heart Association, all across the world and the United States, in getting the funds in and them doing the technology. And in my case, I'm a walking example. It's in me. I'm very proud to say that I've had two. Every time I tell somebody, I said, "You had two?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not exactly looking for three." And I now have another blocked artery somehow that I'm going to have a procedure done within probably the next 2 weeks, a stent put in. But I'm told them, I said, "Look, no matter what, whatever condition I'm in, I want to be at that heart walk." I said, I've got four guys that are veterans. They'll push my bed, and I'm going out there for the heart walk. So I feel very strongly about the event. I've done what I can to try to, bring the importance of it, to get donations. And I'll always be glad to tell everybody and that of all the, the requests that they have for donations, that the American Heart Association obviously is very, very important.
Yeah, obviously has had a major impact on your life and the continuance thereof.
Without question. And I have a lot of enthusiasm. I feel good and all, but that's not to say that it's something couldn't happen to me tomorrow. And when I went in recently, I was in for 4 days and they did all the tests that they had to do. So once they were able to determine something was abnormal, and then after that they did a specific procedure and they said they've identified it, so they know where it's at. If it had been so critical, they would have done something at that point in time. But the other problem is they have a lot of chemicals, so they have to be very careful because I've had the first two operations. And I feel, other than that, I feel good. It does me good to be here now and be able to say that I'm living and breathing. And I thank the church, my pastor, and just a lot of things. I wasn't ever very religious, but, somebody's gotten me through this one way or the other. And I'm proud to be standing here and sitting here, as the case may be, and talking to you and going through this with Janine and the young lady here from EMS. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, those little brushes with mortality can sure change your worldview, can't they?
Yeah, I don't think I want to be in an EMS, nothing personal, but that's not exactly my favorite mode of transportation these days.
Yeah, but good thing it's here. And Sally Davis, how many runs do you guys do for things like cardiovascular, massive coronaries, all that kind of thing?
We do quite a bit, and it's been increasing. And something that Clark said, we're finding it more in younger and younger ages. We're finding it more with not having the symptoms, the so-called classic symptoms all the time anymore, like he spoke about. And people, they ignore those symptoms, and luckily Clark did not, but a lot of people will ignore that. They don't react fast enough and go into the hospital, go to their doctor, get the help they need, and then fortunately they could end up with us, and we want to prevent that. We want to catch this and do the right things before you have to get to the EMS level.
That seems to be one of the biggest challenges, particularly for us as guys, Clark, because it's like, a little indigestion. It's okay. And as you said, hey, it's on the right side. My heart's on the left. That's probably not it. When do you hit the panic button? When should you hit the panic button? Think, uh-oh, this is not good. Something's got to be done, and I better do it now.
Right away. The slightest bit of that doesn't feel right. The slightest bit is, I don't know about that. People just wait too long. They go to bed, they wait till the next morning, and then damage has been done. Or they could get to the point where now they have a sudden cardiac arrest and they need CPR and they need all those measures where we could have already have saved heart muscle. Now we're to the point where we got to backtrack and figure things out from the doctor's perspective. But they need to react right away. Don't hesitate to call us. If you're not sure, if it's not one, then great. But, you know, if it is, they need our help.
Tom, if I could add something, too. When I had my first quadruple, I had had all the symptoms. I just didn't know that they were the symptoms. I had the dizziness. I had put weight on. It was kind of progressing up to that point. The night that I went in, I went at 7 o'clock. They told me if I had waited 5 hours, I wouldn't have woke up. That's how dramatic it was. And the second time when I went with the heart valves, the first cardiologist had told me, listen to your body. That's going to tell you what's wrong, okay, if you have any indications at all. The second one, I kept losing weight. I was going through the VA. They were terrific. My doctor's Dr. Khan. He followed me all the way through, and they did every test possible. And then finally when they did the last catheterization, they said, hey, you've got an infection in your valves. They've got to go. And that's when they had to airlift me out. And again, the same thing. That time I was but just kind of lost my perspective once or twice, and I didn't think anything of it because I was on a lot of medicine. And I was weak. That day I hadn't taken my medicine, and a couple of other things along the way. They kept, you know, all the symptoms now that I know and I'm educated to it kept popping up, and it's like, wow, what a dummy. You know, I'm a college-educated guy, and here I am in the simplest things that was showing, and I wasn't doing anything about it. So I strongly urge all the listeners that if they have any of the symptoms, and, you know, there's a number of ways you can go about researching it and finding information out without even having to go to the doctor. A lot of people don't go because they're just afraid what the doctor's going to tell them. They can't take that perspective. I'm living proof of that. You can't take that perspective. And like you said, I try to be a tough guy through some of it. Even the day that they transported me away, I had work that day in the morning. So, and I was doing everything I could, but it's something that has to be taken very seriously. And believe me, I can. If you ever want to have a scare of your life, when they're taking you on the dolly down the hallway of the hospital, and you know, and you go in and you see all these lights and all these people around you, that they're not there to play poker. So, it's serious stuff. So,
yeah, and it is not a drama. Yeah.
Not even close. They try to humor you, but...
Yeah, but no laughing matter. Talking about heart disease and the upcoming Heart Walk that is set to take place October 11th at Tallahassee's Tom Brown Park with our expert panel here on Perspectives. What's your story? Give us a ring, 414-1234. Brings to mind the old Dionne Warwick hit from about 1964, anyone who had a heart. Well, we all have hearts, and sometimes they are not in the best of shape, and we're the last to find out because we're not paying attention to what's going on. Talking about heart disease and the upcoming Heart Walk here on Perspectives, 414-1234, our local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org. Before we go on, a reminder that if you would like to check out any Perspectives programs that are online within 24 hours of each actual broadcast, you can do that. Go to WFSU.org, click on radio. There is a header at the top that says programs. Pull down programs, click perspectives. Boom, you're right there. Simple, easy to do. Janine Nuzzo with the Heart Association. You have a heart story of your own, don't you?
I do. I have a lifelong heart story.
Tell us.
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. So in that city is a gigantic, wonderful hospital. And luckily for me, I was born there. I was resuscitated outside of the delivery room with the grim news that I was a heart patient from the get-go. And I lived in that hospital primarily till the age of 4. I was able to go home twice. The first time was take your child home, let her live out her last days with her family in your arms. And then the second time when I started feeling a little bit better but still on the transplant list, I was able to go to a daycare facility to get a social experience. And by that time, my father, my hero, had become a volunteer EMT ended up being 17 years, just to be able to help me when I was going into congestive heart failure. So 911 was called, you know, the worst case scenario played out, and I went into congestive heart failure at the daycare center. And who was driving the ambulance to resuscitate me and help me was my very own father. And it was a scary time where I can recall some of it. I was a very sick child. Looking back on home videos, I was the child in the crowd of 14 cousins that was clinging onto the couch, not able to run, not able to play, and just struggling to breathe, struggling for life. When I was about 4 years old, a complete breakthrough happened in the medical industry. A group of physicians and cardiologists approached my parents and asked them if they would like me to be part of a controversial study, a study that was thought to be unethical, a study created by a man that used to live here in the States, and it was challenged so much that he was shooed out of the United States, went over to Germany, and kept working on tinkering on this device. I'm not sure exactly why the United States was so scared of it, but looking back, maybe they thought if batteries were put in people may become robots. Then they'll take over the world. Then they'll, who knows where you that snowball would roll to. So the American Heart Association had a second thought, and they thought, well, you know what, this man might be onto something because we're getting nowhere with treating these people who need constant care for electrophysiology problems or syncope problems regarding the heart.
Keeping the heart ticking the way it's supposed to.
Absolutely. Yeah. It couldn't tick on its own. We'll put it that way. And the gigantic toolbox size of an electric resuscitator wasn't sufficient enough to carry around or to roll around in a hospital everywhere you went. Well, this man was brought back, and he was funded by the American Heart Association, his research, and he and the AHA put the first pacemaker in adult patients back then. And I was to have said to have been around the 45th pediatric patient to receive a pacemaker, and I was immediately taken off the transplant list. My CHF was relieved. And I have had 9 of them. I've had a few duds. The technology had to go through a few kinks back in the day. But I am super grateful, and as are my 4 children, to be not only still a mother, a daughter, and a sister, and, above and beyond all those things, being able to be here and talk about how the American Heart Association dollars through events like the Heart Walk has funded many medical breakthroughs. We heard from Clark earlier. He's the sole benefactor of a bypass machine, a stent, hypertension medication. Most pills that you put in your mouth for heart were researched by us. So there's not much that happens in this community regarding hearts that we haven't funded.
How big of an impact do events like the Heart Walk have as far as making available the kind of resources to do things like your pacemaker, like Clark's stents, those kinds of medical procedures?
The American Heart Association, being a large organization, is huge. However, they are incredible at bringing the mission to each community that's serviced. For instance, for Tallahassee, we begin with small children. We have a lobbyist working on healthy meals in each public school, getting that legislation passed that it is a standard. We also do teaching gardens for certain schools, specific schools here in Tallahassee, where we teach the children the difference between a French fry and a potato and the health benefits thereof. And then we move over to – we work on high schools or older children, and we teach them Jump Rope for Heart, which is a program that most listeners, high school students, have participated in, which teaches them about heart health and community service. Then we move on to college, and Tallahassee happens to be the epicenter of heart research and stroke research also. Florida State University has the what in man language is called the MVP number one draft pick of cardiovascular researchers. And people like Dr. Jose Pinto and Dr. Fogarty and Dr. Alma Littles are all working with a huge panel of researchers trying to work on cures and research for heart and stroke right here in our community. It's just all-encompassing. Sally and Leon County and Vince Long and Chief Kewillen work tirelessly on teaching as many community members CPR as possible. And that is paramount to saving lives here in this community. And it's so great to have their support and have events like Press the Chest that teaches bulk amounts of the community CPR. And our lobbyist here regarding CPR is working on a piece of legislation this year where every high school student will be mandated to learn CPR before they graduate. And you think about high school students' parents, and they are prime pickings for heart diseases. So we are excited and in high hopes that although all the other surrounding states have passed that legislation, except for us. So we've got to get on that as a retirement state. And, you know, all the technology and all the devices and all the medications, obviously, we like to take credit for also. We dump our dollars into. So, you know, it takes a lot of money to do all those things in the community. It is a impact that when you send your dollars to us, they don't go to somewhere very, very far away that you'll never feel the impact of. I mean, Sally feels the impact every day with all the AEDs they have and teaching CPR that was created by us and the education basis off of our science, all the way to our friend here, Clark, that checked into a hospital, which was CRMC, and which is one of our friends along with TMH, that both adhere to the Get With The Guidelines program, which is the recipe book, so Clark can have a better outcome. There is a set protocol if you're going in with chest pain or you feel like you're having a stroke, and this protocol is proven to give you the most best income for the situation that you're in. So we are very grateful to have compliance with both hospitals here in Tallahassee. And as far as Sally is concerned, Leon County just announced that they have one of the most amazing resuscitation rates, 30.77, I think, somewhere around there.
33.3%.
33.3%. And I'm a blonde. I got pretty close to that. that is amazing because most counties' rates are around, what, 4%?
The national average hovers around 7% of return of spontaneous circulation, where we work somebody and get the pulse back on arrival to the hospital.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to bring them back from there than if they're all, you know, about 90% gone, right?
Right, right.
And so this is a great place to be.
Yes, if you're gonna have a massive cardiac infarction, this is the place. Let's get some input from Mark here on Perspectives. He's given us a call. Thanks for hanging on, Mark. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, hi Tom. This is Mark Mahoney. You know me from Return Peace Corps volunteers.
Sure do, Mark.
I'm also been a registered dietitian for about 30 years. I just wanted to put a kind of a plug in for Move Tallahassee. I've been doing blogs for about a year on that, and I have some things actually I sent you earlier yesterday on cardiovascular disease and some of the preventative aspects, and that's kind of the where I'm coming from as far as being a dietitian. And so it's just basically I applaud everything that people are doing, but I'd like to also just let people know that there are good educational evidence-based resources out there. And Move Tallahassee, the Social Interaction blog, is actually a very good place to start.
Boy, and that you bring up a fantastic point, Mark. And how do you then translate that, the good information, the evidentiary-based outcomes, all of that into rubber meets the road, and so folks like, you know, Clark and I can cut back on our fried chicken intake?
Well, that's not the only place. There's certainly a lot of good resources out there in terms of dietary intake. I mean, you know, if, you know, looking at your saturated, unsaturated fats and your omega-3 fats and different sorts of things that one should actually do, and also, of course, including exercise, which is also an important component there. I think we need to start really early on, and so I think I heard something related to the idea of getting that information and education into the school systems, and I think that it's something that we all need to take into account. But, I mean, the resource, the Good Plate resource, the government has a new – we used to have the famous pyramid. Now we have something called Good Plate. .com, I think gov.com, and that basically tells people sort of the idea of what you ought to put on a plate in terms of the amount of vegetables and the amount of different things. And so I think starting from that kind of educational aspect, I think we're going to have a lot more benefit. I guess my take is I'm much more of a preventative sort of person, and I know we have to deal with it on both sides, but I'd rather avoid it if at all cost, you know.
Mark, thank you for calling in. This is Janine. I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate Move Tallahassee in this community. We work along with Tallahassee Democrat. We have been for several years, and we truly appreciate this new entity, this new organization, and it's really bringing the community together to appreciate heart health and not only just heart benefits, but all the health benefits of staying active.
We appreciate everything that that you guys do, Mark, not only through those sorts of things with Move Tallahassee, but also setting an example for us, getting out there with the returned Peace Corps volunteers out along the side of the road and picking up the detritus that the rest of us sometimes very nastily hurl out our windows, and we should not do that. Thanks for giving us a call, Mark.
Okay, Tom, you have a good day. Thanks to everybody there.
Okay. Clark, I got to ask you, though, what lifestyle changes did you have to go through? Because I remember my grandpa saying, you know, well, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to die happy.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because through this conversation, I was getting ready to say and talk about some of the simple things that they told me that I can do to change and make it better. And believe me, I'm 60 now. If I had to do over again, given the fact that I did all of what I thought was good, and there was a time where I was really exercising and everything else, but the worst part that really hit me was my diet more than anything else. They tell you that you need to have a combination of diet and exercise and things like that, but my diet, and it's great to fall in love with all these things that they advertise on TV. It tastes good and everything else. The problem is unfortunately, long term, it's having an effect on you. And my cholesterol had always been real high, even though I never really had done necessarily anything to get it to that point. What they've advised me, a number of things, is one, drink a lot of water. More than the simplest thing, drink a lot of water. Walk away from some of the soft drinks. It's okay. I'm not going to say I'll never drink another, you know, soft drink. But I've cut back to the point where even at work they bug me about, hey, don't even think about it. And I want them to do that. When you talk about when you go to the grocery store, it's important to, when you buy a product, obviously fresh fruit is one of the best things, simple to eat. Salad, I love salad, those kind of things. When you get packaged products, make sure and look at the labels. Sodium is a bad. That's one of the main things that gets all your numbers to go in the wrong direction, basically. Too much sugar. Natural sugar is okay. But too much sugar can really cause some problems. And there's just a number of different items that you can get when you go grocery shopping. Don't always think, okay, I'm going to get candy bars and potato chips and that. Simple thing that I've been doing is when I'm sitting down to watch a ball game, is eat grapes. They're great. They're sweet. It's natural. And it gives me the same thing as if I went and had a big old piece of cake or some ice cream. Not that I'm never going to eat those again. Not pledging that right now. But you see my point, that if you do that more often and you get into a habit, it was a struggle this last weekend, and you'll get a kick out of this. I'm used to a good deli sandwich. I'm from Miami. My parents are from New York, all right? A deli sandwich should be roast beef, cheese, ham, various meats on some good old Italian bread, something like that, big old Kaiser roll. Now I'm having to eat the same sandwich, smaller sandwich, which is one of the other things, cut down on your portions, on, of all things, multigrain bread with omega-3. And I had my first experience with that this weekend. It was like, oh, brother, this is what I'm looking at in my future. And it's like, I'm going to have to convince myself. The other thing is potato chips. Didn't have any potato chips with the meal. Tried again to have fruit and a salad with the sandwich, so that you just have to keep reminding yourself, okay, I've been good. And what I've found is it's okay to get off of it a little bit, but what we have to have more than anything else is self-discipline. And that's true in life in general, but especially about your body. It's, you're the only one that can affect your body, nobody else. You decide what you put in it. You decide how much you put in it. At that point in time, Mother Nature does its course, and hopefully you'll have a long, healthy life.
Well, I'd even heard some rumors on the street, Clark, that the world-famous Carnegie Deli in New York had modified some of its offerings to make them a little bit more heart healthy in recent years.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. And I got to tell you, Jason's is one of my favorite spots here in town. I'm not trying to give a promo for it. And they got plenty of salads and they got plenty of low-calorie stuff in there. But, man, it's hard to look at one of those big old sandwiches and say no. So you have to have self-restraint at times. And I really – it's within everybody if you think about it, just like some of the other things that they do that can affect the heart, like smoking, like drugs, like alcohol. All those things have an impact, not just immediately, long-term and combination. Oh. And that's unfortunately – and Janine can talk more about this.
American Heart Association, our mission statement, it drives home to reduce death and disability by heart disease by 20% by the year 2020. And we do have a platform for that, and it's a simple platform. It's called Life Simple 7. And it basically itemizes what Clark is talking about. So, get active. That's why Move Tallahassee we're a big fan of. And part of our mission is you don't have to have an expensive hoity-toity gym membership to be active. You put your tennis shoes on, you walk down the sidewalk. I mean, I live near the Florida Department of Revenue, and those employees are amazing. They walk around that building's sidewalk constantly, and I'm just so impressed by the health that happens in Tallahassee. If you ever get in your car and you're having to leave out of town in the wee hours of the morning, there's folks meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning doing CrossFit up and down the sidewalks. We are at least a very savvy community when it comes to health. And then the second part of Simple 7 is control your cholesterol, and then eat better, manage your blood pressure, lose weight, reduce your blood sugar, and stop smoking. And that includes e-cigs.
Ah, we have a lot more to talk about here on Perspectives as we look into heart health and also the upcoming Heart Walk set for October 11th at Tom Brown Park. Take your calls too. Reed, now you hang on. You'll be next in line when Perspectives rolls on. Heart Health and the Heart Walk coming up here in Tallahassee as we continue our discussion here on Perspectives with Clark Brookstone, Sally Davis, and Janine Nuzzo. And we're joined by Reed. Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. I sure do appreciate you hanging on there, and thanks for giving us a ring.
Oh, my pleasure, Tom. How you been?
Hey, we can't yell, Reed. Try not to.
Okay, I've been listening to the show with great interest because it is obviously an important topic, and I have to say that what health problems that I have endured over the years are primarily self-induced. So But one thing that I have not heard us discuss this morning is socioeconomics, cultural issues, things like that, which prevent, in some cases, and geographical and demographic issues, which prevent some people from getting access to the information they need to change their lifestyle for the good. And I'll just give you one prime example. I sat in McDonald's, which I don't often do, I swear to God. But I sat there one morning a couple years ago, and I listened to two middle-aged African-American gentlemen sitting there having a conversation. One of them had just been to his doctor talking about his blood pressure, and the other one said, it's okay as long as that high number is under 200 and the low number as long as that high number is 200 and that low number is 100, you're okay. Well, this is an educational issue, and this is a cultural issue, and this is a socioeconomic issue. How do we reach those people, those enclaves, and spread the word there?
Oh, boy. Reed, you always throw a proverbial monkey wrench into the discussion, don't you? No, that seems to be the what I think everyone here is struggling with. Janine is over here just nodding like
I'm
crazy.
I'm so excited you brought this up, Reed. With my training, I was shown recently this map of the United States, this huge map at a presentation. And on it lit up like the 4th of July was the panhandle, lower Georgia, lower Alabama, the South. And they put these maps, if you can imagine, back in the day when we had those clear transparencies on top of each other, one after another. The first one was our population of African Americans and Hispanic populations. And of course, our area was concentrated with this demographic. And then we put on top of it the concentration of cardiovascular disease and stroke right on top of it. We put on top of that obesity rates, again, right here in our area. And you are just right on the spot when it comes to we need to be reaching all these different demographics that are affected and impacted directly by obesity, by genetic predispositions for specific heart cardiovascular diseases. And with American Heart Association, I strive really hard in this community to reach out to every type of demographic because no one is excluded from heart diseases or stroke. And most importantly, to the demographics that you're referring to. And it is, you know, if anyone would like to reach out to the American Heart Association of Tallahassee and get more involved, especially with Heart Walk, it is a huge event that raises awareness in the community. And with it comes CPR training and hopefully health screenings pop up throughout the year via us and via the different hospitals and entities in town. And those can save a life, and I'm very proud of those. So thank you for bringing that up. Hopefully you've saved someone's life by calling in and bringing that up.
Well, to add a little bit to that, though, last year was our fourth Press the Chest event, and each year we try to focus on a different group. We've done students. Last year was the focus on minorities, and FAMU partnered with us, was a great partner in the Press the Chest event last year, and we held it at their Lawson Center, and we had FAMU representatives there giving out a lot of good heart health information, and we trained our largest group at that event. We trained close to 450 citizens, CPR and AED use and choking techniques, et cetera, in that event. And there's another big health initiative, and I can't remember the name of it right now, that FAMU is putting on right now throughout their year at school to continue these efforts. So I think with the new president, with their new initiatives there, with the partnership we had with them, I think they're continuing, they're starting the strides, and they're continuing those strides to make the efforts in those statistics and to try to, you know, create better statistics there because they are a little low. But we have to reach out to them. We have to offer, you know, it's socioeconomically it's hard for them to sometimes, you know, get daycare, get sitters, get away from work like all of us. But, you know, or they don't realize what the resources are out there. We have to reach out to them like what we're doing with the American Heart Association, what we did with Press the Chest. And continue those efforts.
Or the dietary thing, because like we were saying there, Clark, you know, kind of gravitating towards something that's a little bit more natural and more healthy. A couple weeks ago when Frenchtown held its yearly festival, a whole bunch of folks were there with fresh greens and locally grown produce, and people were really checking it out and getting excited about it. And they have a market down there now every Saturday down there on the corner of Macomb Street. And that seems to be making some inroads into the community, too. There's that giant neighborhood garden over there at 4th and Dunn Street. Mm-hmm. And some other gardens are propping up over here on the south side. So there seems to be – it may not have hit a critical mass yet, but there seems to be a growing awareness.
I think this community is edgy. I think that the co-op fad is probably one of the best things for our health in this community. I think it's amazing that not only is our co-ops seen as interesting to folks who are the gluten folks, the gluten-free folks, and all the organic folks, but it's becoming more of the mainstream with all these wonderful healthy grocery stores that are unique. And so to me, that's exciting for Tallahassee. We have more choices to eat healthy. You're going to see our national campaign pounding down sodium and sugar this year or for the next few years. So it took us a very long time, decades, to bring down the tobacco industry. And we plan on putting that much momentum in our campaign against sodium and sugar. Tom, get ready.
if I could add some too, one of the other ways we have of getting this information out is the most simplest of all, word of mouth. Where I work, I can't tell you how many people have asked me, hey, how did you feel? How do you feel now? What do you think caused it? How do you go about getting better? What changes do you have to make? And I don't hesitate to tell them. And I think all of us here have a lot of encounters with people all over the place. I'll go to Publix and I'll be looking kind of somewhere and I'll see a woman over at the bakery. And I go, and she'll laugh at me and all. And I'm probably trying to hustle her anyway, but that's a whole other story. it'll start up a conversation about, oh, do you realize this and do you realize that? And it's important that not only we get the information out to adults, but then they pass it along to their children, because our children are constantly bombarded. And I don't have children, but I watch the TV a lot, and I see these commercials, and they're bombarded with all this food that is just so to the far end of where they want to be. And I when I grew up, we had the president's physical fitness thing that they used to do at school.
I remember.
Yeah. From what I understand, they don't do that anymore. And that's a shame, because that you didn't have to be an athlete. All you had to do is try. And all you had to do is put your mind to it, and you could improve whatever you were trying to do, sit-ups, push-ups, or whatever. And I think it really gets down to an individual choice, and the individual has to have the motivation to look out for themselves many times and to follow through on that, and not to do it just for a day or a week, but to continue it as a lifestyle. And that's just my perspective, because unfortunately I'm 60 now. If I had to do over again, I would have much rather changed a lot of things along the way. And I have a friend who's always done the whole thing. He eats salads and nuts and peanuts and all that. And I look at him. He's the same age, same height, and he's like 60 pounds less. And he looks skinny to me. And he says, no, you're overweight. I said, no. No, I'm
husky.
No secret that Americans have a wonky perception of heart health. I was telling Tom earlier that the polling says that over 36% of Americans claim pridefully that they are in good heart health. And the grim reality is between 1 and 2% of Americans are in heart health. So that is a perception that that Clark is referring to, that folks want a little pastry here and there. That's my food group, right? The cherry preserves and that pastry. No.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that you avoid the hunger pangs later on. And we have to ask the question, should any hamburger consist of in excess of 3,500 calories? That's what I want to know. Let's see if we can get an L here. She's been patiently waiting on line one. Thanks, L. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you so much. I want to tell you how excited I am to hear the collection of speakers that you have gathered today. I'm new to town. I came here in May. I am bringing a new concept in adult fitness to town called Orange Theory Fitness, and it is five-zone heart rate training. Everybody in this one-hour workout wears a heart rate monitor. And throughout the studio, there are large screens that indicate each individual's name and their current heart rate output by percentage and actual heart rate and how many calories they've burned so far in the workout. And we get amazing results, and people, strengthen the most important muscle in our body, our heart. And I'm really thrilled to know that there's like-minded people who are out spreading the word about heart health. And it is possible to the gentleman that just mentioned being 60. I'm 60, and I do this workout five times a week, and I dropped 4 pounds when I started it 4 years ago and got so excited that I decided to become an owner and bring it to a part of the country that I think is desperate for this kind of wonderful, exciting, fun, and different workout.
I've already heard about you. This is Jenny with American Heart Association. I am excited, too. A gym that makes it competitive to get healthy, and you can kind of see you could see your stats on the board compared to others. Is that true?
Yes, you see your stats in large screens throughout the studio, And then we also give you by email and through our mobile app your results, your summary for that day, which you can track over time.
That's wonderful. Can I ask you a very tricky question?
Sure.
Do you have an AED in your business?
Of course. Everyone
wonderful.
AED and CPR trained.
Sally and I are smiling right now.
Yes,
high five, Sally.
Yes, we are.
Well, good for you. Welcome to the community. I know exactly where you're at. You're across from where Paradise used to be. Ironically enough, you're kind of across from that burgerish place. What is it called? I forget what it's called. The train.
We're across from Les Robles Animal Hospital.
Yes.
In Midtown.
Fantastic. I wish you the best of luck. I'm excited, and I'll have to pop in and experience it for myself.
I'll reach out to you guys, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Elle. We appreciate it. And then right up the street, of course, you got sweat therapy, and you have a number of other facilities that offer. The emphasis is on cardio and not just – I mean, weight training is great in building lean muscle mass and all of that, but you got to get the cardio thing going here.
That's
too.
Right. You can – and like I said, our mission is you don't have to join a gym, but the social aspect of it is something that some folks need. They need that dependability. They need to have that draft come out of their bank account. They need to buy those cute workout clothes to be able to show them off in them. If I could just, you know, Queen of Hearts, and we used to have Friends Fitness. We have Kinetics Gyms. We have Premier Gyms. We have so many gyms in this community, sweat therapy that are really interested in getting folks' heart healthy. And I'm impressed.
Gee,
it's almost like a boutique atmosphere.
That's what I think. And Sally Davis, that'd be something great, especially for the new ambulance you guys are going to buy. Maybe have a flat screen on the side of the ambulance, and you can, you know, through, put all the information right there, the patient that you're transporting, you know, the heart rate and everything else.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Then we'd have a broadcaster that had to be there to make sure and analyze it.
You do a play-by-play. Absolutely. Sally, I heard from one of your guys that actually for emergency medical transport, you folks have had to make some adjustments because of the growing size of the patients you have to transport. Is that true?
Oh, yes. We actually have a special stretcher that if the patient is that obese and needs that kind of – and we can't fit them in the ambulance, we have to go retrieve that kind of stretcher to be able to house them in the ambulance. And unfortunately, that has been occurring more and more often. And that goes back to the prevention and all the risk factors that we need to educate the folks on to work towards that end of things. Make it a little bit easier on us and our backs.
Boy, that's for sure. And those are big ambulances. I can't imagine someone being so large that you would have trouble kind of shoehorning them in.
It can be. It can be tricky.
Oh, my God.
And that starts from a young age. American Heart Association released a statement not too long ago saying that this is the first generation that will not outlive their parents. And that's terrifying to me. I know that we have had campaigns against childhood obesity in the past, and we've kind of seen that mature. And now we have, an epidemic of all different ages that are obese. And it's not just obesity. When you think of obesity, we're talking about blood sugar. We're talking about, heart diseases and just so much more prone to all kinds of disorders when you factor in obesity. So that's why we start with our little ones and we try to build community awareness and parental awareness throughout their lifetime.
Okay. Let's talk about the walk because that is coming up on October 11th. We certainly want to get some plugs in there. Clark, you said you're going to show up anyway, right?
One way or the other, I'd like to put a plug in for my team. It's called Heart Strong Vets. All you'd have to do is go on to the website for Tallahassee Heart Walk 2014. There's a button there that says donate. All you'd have to do is hit that. Put my name, in this case, Clark Brookstone, and it'll allow you to put in whatever you want to donate. And it goes all to the eventual fund that we're trying to get. I believe it's a goal of $300,000. I have to relay this story. When I talked to Janine at a few weeks ago, I was calling to tell her that I had collected some money. And she was saying, well, okay, that's great. And I said, I'm going to turn it in. I said, I've collected $140. This was at the time, and these were all small donations from people I work with. And she started screaming and hollering. I said, uh-oh, what did I say? She said, oh, we went over 100,000. And so that was the first step in this process. And that was a number of weeks ago. And I was like, wow, I didn't think it was that special. I said, it's only $140, but that got us one-third of the way there. We're still a long way from where we want to be. We're still trying to get as many donations as we can. I've got some more things that I've got coming in. Hopefully, when people hear it, they'll donate.
Well, we hope that they do that. And again, go to Tallahassee Heart Walk 2014.
www.bigbenheartwalk.org.
There we go. Janine Nuzzo and Clark Brookstone, and of course, Sally Davis. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today about heart health and the upcoming Heart Walk. We appreciate it all.
Thank you.
Respect is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls pushing the buttons and answering the phones and all today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we're going to prevent some fires. I hope you can join us for some inflammatory discussion then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.